The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Given the weather that is on the way, a lot of people will be looking at the garden saying, how do I button this thing up and batten down its various hatches to get it through the winter so that I have something left come spring? Well, Brian Burke is here, our resident gardening expert, to answer that and all other questions. Is that a bad attitude, first of all, Brian? Should we be looking at the winter and thinking it is still possible to keep the garden pretty, or do you call it quits till March?
Not at all, Anton. I mean, there's a huge amount going on in the garden over the winter. I think people, there's a perception that, you know, we reach a point around Halloween and that's it. You know, you pull down the shutters until next April or whatever. But it's not the case. I mean, if you look around, I mean, there's still a lot of late flowering perennials in full flight. There's still a lot of colour. Things like Rudbeckia, Salvia hotlips, Nepeta, Veronica, all this stuff is still blooming prolifically right now. And then over the course of the winter itself, and there's an awful lot of good choices you can make to provide structure and provide colour in those kind of barren months. You know, it's a lot of winter flowering shrubs, a lot of winter flowering perennials, things like hellebores, things like mahonia, things like viburnum tinus, even heathers. All of these things provide a blaze of colour over the winter. So it's a bit of a misnomer to say that there's a certain point where we just pull the shutter down and that's it.
You know? Is it too late to plant those if you want them through the winter?
Well, again, I mean, we're coming into November through to March is what we call bare root season. So you can plant an awful lot of bare root stock without growing medium or without soil attached, right? Now, if something is potted or containerized or container grown, it in theory can be planted any time of the year as long as you look after it, you know, it's because it has growing medium attached. It has the root system established. It's been in a garden center or a nursery or whatever. And it's just a matter of transplanting it into the ground and looking after it. But over the winter, bare root is a popular choice for large volume planting. If you're doing hundreds of metres of hedging, say, for example, and, you know, cost is an issue, you buy bare root stock a lot cheaper. It's easier to handle. Logistically, it's easier to just get into the ground. So that's a popular choice.
And that can be done during dormancy. Presumably, that's part of it.
Exactly. Sometimes people just pull out a trench, a very narrow trench. Sometimes we do a thing called notch planting. It's just drive the spade into the ground, wiggle it back and forth. You create a little slot, and then you literally swipe in the bare root because it's just a fibrous root with no growing medium, you know. So that would be a popular approach in agricultural, equestrian situations where there's huge volume of material being planted, you know.
If you are planting something what you have got from a garden centre, you know the way if you're doing like flooring inside a house, you need to leave the product sit in the environment for 2 or 3 days before you use it so it acclimatises. Is that the case with planting? Should you put your potted plant where it's going to live in its pot for a while, or do you just bang it straight in the ground?
I mean, the fact is, where it's been grown or where it's bred and where it's been brought along and developed, it's been outside, so it's already been acclimated, you know. So, I mean, I wouldn't worry about that. That's not really a concern.
Can we go back?
Yeah.
Salvia hotlips.
Yep. It's a perennial. It's a beautiful late flowering
red. That's genuinely its name, Salvia hotlips.
Salvia hotlips. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a late flowering version of salvia, red flower, looking beautiful, looking resplendent this time of the year. And that's one of those late flowering perennials. I mean, we're nearly in November and that's still really doing its thing. So, you know, the season is probably longer than people perceive it to be. In terms of perennials, there's a perception out there that perennials just do their thing from May through to August, but there's an awful lot of late flowering stuff that is still looking really well.
Now, this is proof, I think, that I listened to you, because there is a text here asking a question that I think you answered maybe this time last year or even the year before.
Okay.
It says, I always ask this question, but nobody has ever answered it for me. When do I need to stop cutting the grass? And as I'm fed up with cutting the grass, I'm thinking of putting down fake grass, but can I put that down now or do I have to wait till spring? We will come back to the fake grass. I think you said you should continue to mow all of the way through the winter.
If you can, absolutely. Again, this is the thing with lawns. If you're fussy about your lawn and you want to give it a good head start in spring, if you can over the winter, whenever weather allows. Now, I know there are impediments to that, right? Underfoot conditions can be very, very soggy and the mower doesn't like wet grass. But if we do get a few days of dry weather and the grass is amenable, keep cutting over the winter, but cut it high. Don't scalp it the way you normally would during the summer months. Keep cutting it high. Aerate it if you can, scarify it if you can, make sure it's kept clear of debris and leaves and all of that stuff.
Brian.
And listen, if you don't want to
scarify, life is too short.
I know
how long that takes.
It can be hard. It can be hard work, but you can get mechanical versions of these, you know, tools to help you. You can get a mechanical scarifier, mechanical aerator. But if you don't want to go that route, just throw down a good iron-rich feed. Keep her cut over the winter. higher than you normally would, throw down an iron-rich feed and keep it free of leaves, leaf mould and debris and stuff like that. And that'll give you a great head start for the spring.
Text saying, oh yeah, sorry, the other half of that. I'm going thinking of putting down fake grass. Where do you stand on fake grass?
Well, again, my thing on fake grass is in tasteful moderation, I have no major issue with it, right? I would be totally against redoing a garden in its entirety in fake grass. But a small suburban space or a housing development rear garden or something like that, where you want your kids to be outdoors over the winter months, providing a dry space. I don't see any moral kind of impediment to doing it. I don't see any major difference between doing fake grass and maybe doing precast paving or something like that, you know? And also, a lot of these artificial grass manufacturers are now making their product from recycled material. There's a lot of recycled plastic going into the product. So it's not as environmentally, you know, degrading as people might perceive it to be.
On the thing of precast paving, a text asked, my husband would like to lay a new garden path. Is winter a good time to do that? And what's the best surface to use?
A garden path. Okay, well, I mean, in terms of surfaces to use, I mean, there's so much out there. I mean, there's precast paving slabs, smaller cobblock units. There's natural stone, limestone, sandstone. Big taste for porcelain paving now. You can get porcelain paving reasonably cheaply. And again, the substrate preparation depends on the material that you're going to use. Precast material is typically dry laid. You can lay it on a compacted base of 804 with a screeded 20mm layer of
804?
Paving sand. 804 is Claus 804. People call it kind of colloquially hardcore. It's just fill material. It's called 804 because I think it refers to the clause in the Department of Transport spec on road construction. Would you believe that? Yeah, I think that's where it comes from. Yeah. So we just know it as fill or hardcore. So compact about 100mm layer of that if it's foot traffic only. If it's vehicular traffic, you want to increase that to about 200mm. Screed off your 20mm layer of paving sand on top of that. Paving sand is a material that's basically, it's a combination of standard like plastering sand and a small 3 or 4 millimeter pebble. And that allows water to dissipate, you know. So that's dry laid. Water hits that, it'll dissipate down into the substrate and won't cause any flooding. If you go with something solid like a porcelain where all the joints are grouted, you need to shift that water because every drop of water that hits that needs to be moved. So that will need to be pitched. So there's a slightly different preparation and different methodology involved.
Porcelain
there.
Also is trickier to cut than some of the others.
Porcelain's hard material. Yeah, you need a wet saw. Ideally, you need a wet saw to cut porcelain because if you go cutting them with a dry saw, it tends to chip.
And it also, the amount of dust, cutting porcelain with an angle grinder, you'll be picking dust out of your teeth for the rest of your life.
Absolutely, very fine material. Yeah.
A text saying, I had a beautiful salvia hot lips. I still think this sounds like a burlesque dancer. I had a beautiful salvia hot lips a few years ago, but the smell resembles a feline number one, so I had to get rid of it.
Oh, really? Okay, well, you can overpower that. If you accompany it, do a bit of companion planting with the likes of Nepeta. Or lavender that also has a strong fragrance. I think that would overpower it and kind of neutralize it, you know.
Can I deadhead my hydrangeas now? I have both traditional mop head and vanille phrase types in my garden.
Okay, well, I mean, again, hydrangeas have been looking well. Again, like I just said there a minute ago, things are looking well later and kind of the season seems to be slightly more elongated this year. Things are still looking really well. So
global warming,
hydrangeas,
effectively?
It could be a bit of that. There are hydrangeas out there that are still flowering reasonably well. If the flowers are gone over, and you'll know if the flowers are gone over, they look pretty sick and pretty dishevelled. If they're obviously gone over, of course you can deadhead them. But another thing that we're doing now in gardening generally is we're leaving dead foliage, standing dead foliage over the winter. We're leaving seed heads, we're leaving grasses, we're leaving perennials stand over the winter to provide sustenance. Again, it's a biodiversity initiative, provide sustenance for insects and late operating bees and pollinating insects, birds, etc. So any seed heads that you can leave on standing perennials or standing shrubs in general provide sustenance for wildlife over the winter. It also provides nice structure. If we get some nice frosty nights, you get that webbing and you get that ice formation on standing dead foliage, a beautiful thing on a nice winter's morning. So there's an aesthetic and also an ecological imperative there.
Here's a challenge that I'm not sure even you will be able to solve. We have two tomato plants we have been keeping indoors, but they're getting too big now. Any suggestions for putting them both outside without killing them for winter? Oh, you couldn't.
That sounds, unless you have a heated greenhouse, unless you have some sort of a heated greenhouse, polytunnel glass house, conservatory, something like that. I mean, I can't see how you're going to put them directly outside at this time of the year without jeopardizing them. I mean, typically fruiting is pretty much finished. So it would be the thing now to just, you know, dismantle that crop and compost it. So I can't imagine that.
Oh, can tomato plants not overwinter outside and survive, re-flourish next year? No.
Yeah, they can, but it's difficult to maintain them. It's easier, tends to be easier and less onerous to just get new plants, to compost your material and get new plants.
It has to be said, the tomato plant is one of those things that is every home should have one. The smell of a tomato plant when it is in full vine.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, in a porch or like a transitional area into the house, a conservatory, something like that. It's a beautiful thing, yeah.
You know the chef, Heston Blumenthal?
Yes.
He maintains that most of that, you know that smell that you get from tomatoes in a conservatory? Mm. He says that's the vine, not the actual fruit. And if you want to replicate it in your sauce, when your sauce is cooling, put the vine in the sauce and you get a much more tomatoey flavour out of the sauce at the end.
Okay, well,
that's his theory. I don't know.
Well, I will defer to the wisdom of Heston on that one.
A text saying, what do you reckon are the best bulb plants to grow now?
Well, bulbs, I mean, again, if you go down to Woody's or, you know, you will see the place is replete with spring flowering bulbs. So it's the typical ones. It's your crocus, which are actually a corm. There's, you know, your daffodils, your tulips, your bluebells, your fritillaries, things like that. Those are the ones that will be available on the shelf right now. So get them in the ground. Again, plant your bulbs to about 2.5 times their own depth. So if your bulb is about 2 inches long, 50 millimetres, plant it to a depth of about 125 millimetres. Good free-draining soil. And spread them. Just spread them randomly. Adopt the Monty Don approach to bulb planting. Just get an armful of bulbs, throw them out where you want to plant them, and wherever they land, just put them in the ground there. It's the naturalized way of doing it. So you're not, again, we have this, the human instinct is to seek order and patterns and line them. Yeah, so just throw them wherever the land, put them in the ground. And then later flowering bulbs like dahlias, nereens, gladioli, they'll come later. But the obvious ones are what you'll see down in the garden centre now.
Brian, as ever, we have more than we could get to. Next time you're in, we will try. If we didn't get your question answered, my apologies. I'll try to get it for Brian the next time he is in. That is Brian Burke.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.